Now let's continue on. Okay? Come back here to Romans 3 and verse 31, because the question came up concerning abolishing the law. Because once you have your sins forgiven, you have been baptized, received the Holy Spirit, now you are under grace, and the Protestants say the law has been abolished, so you don't have to keep the law. Well, Paul was confronted with the same thing, Romans 3 and verse 31. Are we then abolishing the law through faith? And that's exactly what Protestants believe. They say, yes, you don't have to keep anything. The old law is done away. Paul says, may it never be. Rather, we are establishing the law. Now, this does not mean they have license to establish their own version of the law. Okay? Rather, you are establishing the law of God spiritually for what it is. Written in your heart and in your mind, Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. Now, let's come back here to Romans 6 and we'll finish this. But this helps us to understand, and I'll finish when I get down south, under grace. Now remember, let's just summarize. Sin, which is transgression of the law, shall not rule over you because you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. All right. Verse 16 says, don't you realize that whom you yield yourselves as servant to obey, you are servants of the one you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? So we have obey, verse 16, obedience, verse 16. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not practice the things which I say? If you practice what Jesus says, what are you doing? You're obeying. See? Okay. But thanks be to God that you were the servants of sin, but you have repented and have been baptized, have received the Spirit of God. But you have obeyed from the heart. That's where it all comes from, you see. But your heart must be converted, and you must have the laws and commandments of God written in your heart and your mind, and that's the whole process of growing and overcoming. Have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And having been delivered from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And if you're the servant of righteousness, you are what? Obeying. Now, verse 19. I speak from a human point of view because of the weaknesses of your flesh. Just as you once yielded your members in bondage to uncleanness and to lawlessness unto lawlessness, transgressing the laws of God, replacing the laws of God, so now yield your members in bondage to righteousness unto sanctification. Now, hold your place right here in verse 19 and come to Matthew 23, because we're going to come back there. Because I want you to learn something very important. That's why you need the book Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or a Religion of Men. Okay, now Matthew 23. Now Matthew 23 is really quite a chapter. This is where he castigates the scribes and Pharisees in no uncertain terms. All right. Now come here to verse 25, showing the works of the flesh. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Doesn't matter what kind of front you put on, it's what's in your heart. Blind Pharisees, what did we read about the blind leading the blind? Okay? First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish so that the outside may also become clean. How do you do that? Through repentance, right? Yes. What does it say, Psalm 51? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. See? Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Now, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of the bones of the dead and of all uncleanness. Likewise, you also outwardly appear to men to be righteous, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now remember, lawlessness means making your own rules and laws and regulations in place of God's. Did the Jews have their traditions? Yes, Mark 7, what did Jesus say? Full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Do Protestants have traditions? Yes. Do Jews have traditions? Yes. Do Catholics have traditions? Yes. Does Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all have traditions? Yes. Do they have the Word of God? Some may hold the Word of God, but they don't understand the Word of God. Okay? Full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now, come back here to Romans 6. Okay? Talks about human conduct. Verse 19 again. I speak from a human point of view because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you yielded yourselves in bondage to uncleanness and to lawlessness unto lawlessness. That means multiple breaking of the commandments of God. And what did Jesus say would be in the end time? Because lawlessness will what? Be multiplied. And if you don't think it's being multiplied in religion and in government and in people's lives today, then you don't know what's happening, okay? So now, yield your members in bondage to righteousness unto sanctification. And sanctification means to be made holy through the power and spirit and word of God, see? For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Therefore, what fruit did you have in those things of which you're now ashamed? For the end result of those things is death. But now that you have been delivered from sin and have become servants of God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, come here to Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, I'll probably go over this again when I get down south, but this becomes important here. Once you have repented, been baptized, received the Holy Spirit of God, and are letting God write his laws and commandments in your heart and in your mind, okay, you are striving to overcome sin, you're relying on Christ, you have weakness of the flesh, and you can repent of those sins because you're under grace. Now we are going to see the dividing line is clear. Who is under grace and who is under law? Being under grace does not mean that you are not in obedience to God and his laws. Rather, it means you're keeping them in the spirit. Okay, come back here to Romans 7. Let's see that. See? Okay. All right. But now you have been released from the law. In this particular case, that was the law of the marriage covenant, because you have died through water baptism to that in which you were held, so that you might serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. It's not a question of keeping the laws of God or having them abolished. That is not the question. The question is, how do you keep it? people in the world who are nice and decent, good people in the world, keep the laws of God in the letter. They don't have the Spirit of God. Even though they keep Christmas, Easter, Sunday, all of these things, follow all the pagan doctrines, many of them are still nice and good people as the world would look at people, law-abiding citizens within the land. Okay? But are they converted? Do they have the Spirit of God? The answer is no. So therefore, they're under law. They're not under grace. We serve in newness of spirit by having them written in our heart and in our mind, because a law, just because it's written in a book or on a code of law in some governmental building, has no enforcement. It's just there. Now, with God's Spirit in you and a desire to obey and God's Spirit to lead you, now that's how you establish law, because you desire to love God, you desire to obey God, you desire to keep His commandments, you want to know that you're living your life correctly, you repent when you sin, etc. All of that is what chapter 8 calls the spiritual minded. Now back to chapter 8. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? If you have the Spirit of God and you are being led by the Spirit of God, you are under grace. Now come over here. Come on down. We're going to see how this works. Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, this is your standing before God. Yes, we still have a fleshly body, don't we? But now we have something added to our minds, which is the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. Now, notice this dividing line. Everyone who does not have the Spirit of God dwelling within in them is under law. Everyone who has the Spirit of God dwelling within them is under grace. See? Only those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them are under grace. Let's see that. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. It's not a matter of what you profess. It's not a matter of what you proclaim. It's not a matter of what you believe independent from the Word of God. It is, do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you or not? And then you have to go back. How do you receive the Spirit of God? You receive the Spirit of God through repentance, through baptism, through laying on of hands. Yes. Okay. Now, comment was made, so we need to go back to verse 2. Here's another one. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, so the Spirit of God is law, truth. Will the Spirit of God lead you to disobey? Will the Spirit of God lead you to reject the commandments of God? Will the Spirit of God lead you to disobey God? No. See. But with the Spirit of God within you, you are delivered from the law of sin and death. It is not removed until the resurrection, but you have been delivered from its dictatorial clutch over your life. See, nothing else can do that. You can see people in the world who are really successful. They do this, they discipline themselves, they study, they improve their minds, they live decent lives and all of that sort of thing, but are they converted? No. Now what you can do is, if you want to know how people appear good on the outside, but within, they're really crooks. Watch CNBC Because they have on there American greed. You watch American greed? These people are professional in what they do. They can appear that they're very good, see, but they're not converted. And the law of the Spirit of life from Christ, then, is going to give you the inner hungering and thirsting of the Word of God, wanting to love God, wanting to obey God, so forth. So there is a dividing line. See, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. Now, there may be people that are close. There may be people that God is working with. But unless they answer the call and repent, they don't belong to God. And if, you see, the next time, I don't know if you want to do this, you might not get out of the room alive. Well, maybe you will. You corner a Sunday-keeping preacher and say, doesn't the Bible teach that we should keep the Sabbath? And he says, yes. Do you think that we should keep the commandment to not murder? Do you think we should keep the commandment to not commit adultery? Well, in most cases. And you go on down to 10 commandments, you see. Don't you think then that you're a hypocrite to come to church here on Sunday and tell everyone that they're in God's favor when they're breaking God's Sabbath? Oh, no, I'm good intention. No, you have a well-intended hypocrisy, which is sin and iniquity. Would that be something? Well, then, do you consider yourself a hypocrite? Oh, no, what do you consider yourself then? Especially now, I just want to leave you with this one thought before I get out of here, and you better have your escape planned. Jesus said that he was Lord even of the Sabbath day. So that means the Lord's day is the Sabbath. Now, what are you going to do before God? You can mail me your answer. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.